This is the morning service on April 12, 2020. The message is delivered by Pastor Seno from the Book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 32. The message title is Our Hearts Burning Within Us. Good morning. Today, all the churches around the world is celebrating Lord Jesus, who was resurrected. Let us worship the Lord of resurrection as we meditate upon the resurrection of Lord Jesus. The theme of Easter worship service of 2020 is Our Hearts Burning Within Us. Almost 2,000 years ago, it was Friday evening, when Lord Jesus died on the cross and he was buried in a tomb which had never been used before. 3 days after, early morning on Sunday, women went to the tomb and saw an angel who told them that Jesus was raised from the dead. That Sunday was a turning point in human history. But the disciples thought it was a joke, and they did not believe what the women said. Let's look at the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 32. Book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 32. Verse 13. Now that the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels, who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself.' As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us?" So it was the evening of a very Sunday that Jesus was raised. Two disciples were walking from Jerusalem to their hometown Emmaus. The trip must have been that of hardship, sorrow, and confusion. They were grieving over their lack of courage to stop the crucifixion 3 days ago and regretting as they were walking. They must have been pondering over the days in the last 3 years they followed Jesus of Nazarene and the end of it. They must have been wondering what they should do now. The road was downhill and they were at a loss with anxiety of their future. It was approaching the evening time and they were facing the sun going down as they headed for Emmaus. Lord Jesus approached the two disciples and began to walk with them. He asked, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" Cleopas, one of the two, replied, "About the prophet from Galilee, Jesus of Nazareth. Surely he was about the prophet. We followed him, believing him to be Messiah, the Savior, who was prophesied in the scripture. But the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. But our dream is over now, because he is dead." Many of our colleagues lost the passion and left. Our movement is over. We have also left Jerusalem to return to our hometown. Everything is over. Then Lord Jesus said, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? Have you forgotten all?" They approached the village to which they were going. The two disciples felt something burning in their hearts, and they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is near the evening. The day is almost over." So Jesus went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized who the person was, and Jesus was no longer seen by them. Whether or not Jesus was seen is not so important here, because the two disciples said, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Any one of us walks a road to Emmaus at least once in a lifetime. Any one of us walks a path of regrets and disappointment at least once in a lifetime. It is like walking alone in despair towards the sun that is going down. But please keep in mind, in such a time, there is someone who approaches us and talks to us. If you think there is something in the Bible or in Jesus Christ, please insist him to stay with you and listen to him. Then for sure you will be touched by the truth and warmed. This year's theme scripture passage of this church is Behold, I stand at the door. Let us invite the Lord, who is walking beside us, to enter into our heart. 2,000 years ago, the hearts of the two disciples were burning within them. During the last 2,000 years, countless people have listened to Jesus' voice, and their hearts were burning. Today is the anniversary day of Tsuchiura Megumi Church. 66 years ago, on April 4th, the first worship service of this church took place. Probably, only the family members of the missionary Winters attended. He was followed by missionary Becker, missionary McLuckin, and missionary Bathordo. Late Pastor Asoka wrote about the missionary Becker in the memorial book published at the occasion of 20th anniversary of this church. I quote, "Missionary Becker was like a giant. He was big, and he drove a small 50cc motorcycle, carrying on his back an wooden box filled with the Bibles and Christian books to visit me every week in the tuberculosis ward of the hospital in Ami. I felt something very noble about his service. Those missionaries happened to know that there were Japanese people who did not know Christ. Only for the purpose to let Japanese people know Christ, they left their homelands and their families to come to Japan. Were their hearts burning within them? On February 14, 1957, one young man confessed his faith in Christ and he was baptized. He was suffering from tuberculosis and he was dying, but he heard the voice of Christ and he was healed and stood up. When he was recovered, his heart was burning, and he decided to dedicate the rest of his life to God. And in 1964, he returned to Megumi Church as a pastor. He is a late Shigeru Asaoka, the first Japanese pastor of this church. We all know that his heart was burning within him. Since then, until today, many teachers and believers have been led by their burning hearts to raise the group of this church, creating wonderful traditions, building up this church. Some of them have already gone to heaven. There are also those who once were with us and now living their Christian lives in other parts in Japan. Their hearts must be burning within them as well. Now, for what are our hearts burning this morning? It must be a fight against COVID-19. Human beings are currently fighting against this new coronavirus. Our battles against COVID-19 have three dimensions. The first is a battle to stop the spreading of infection. The second is a battle to minimize the death by the virus. The third is a battle to control the virus. Researchers must be working day and night to develop new medicines and vaccines. Medical staffs around the world are devoting themselves to the efforts to prevent the infected patients from dying. To avoid the spreading of the virus infection, we are all self-restraining our life. We are not running away from the virus, but we are all fighting to cut the infection routes. Unfortunately, mankind has not won these three dimensional battles. It takes time to develop new medicines, and there is not yet a definite treatment to cure the patients, and we have not been able to stop the growing mortality rate. We are far from the victory, and we have let the new coronavirus to invade us, and we had to admit the state of pandemic. Our battle has only begun, and it will continue for a while. In such an environment today, I would like you to recognize another dimension of the battle in addition to the three scientific dimensions of the battle mentioned earlier. Victory in this last dimension is necessary for mankind to bring a true victory over this epidemic. It is a battle between human nature and the infection that can destroy human nature. We must recognize that an epidemic has a power to destroy human nature. One such battle is a battle against discrimination that is caused by anxiety and fears towards the unknown virus. News about the pandemic, collapse of the medical care system, lockdowns produce much anxiety, and anxiety brings about discriminations. Biased and incorrect information created racial discrimination to demand get-out agents. Some politicians publicly name China virus with malice, trying to cause divisions rather than solidarity of mankind. Groundless discrimination discriminates other races, destroys human natures, and makes the brutal society. In addition, good-natured general public should also recognize the battle to protect human natures. Many ran to buy an excessive stock of toilet paper based on the false information. Selfish motivation seems to stand out over the care for the community members. Many frauds are rampant. More than 10,000 of people have already died because of the virus, but irresponsible false information and frauds are rampant. What is happening to human nature in this era? Even in a small community, there are cold wars and divisions. People do not agree over the approaches and control measures against the pandemic. Serious infection control measures can be ignored, while criticism and anger can explode against those who are not eager to take the measures. In this way, anxiety and fear leads to self-centeredness, causing lack of considerations for others, and human nature, such as characters, are being twisted. Infection is a battle that mankind faces. It is a formidable epidemic. It challenges human wisdom and human nature. Mankind must overcome it both in scientific aspect and spiritual aspect. In fact, the human history has been a battle against terrible epidemics and natural disasters. For example, there's a record of how the Christians fought when an epidemic attacked the Roman Empire. I share with you a summary of chapter 4 from the book written by Rodney Starks titled Christianity and the Roman Empire. In year 165 AD, under the reign of Marcus Aurelius, Roman Empire was attacked by an epidemic. It is said to have been smallpox. For 15 years, while the epidemic lasted, it is said that one third or one quarter of the population of the entire empire died of infection. Marcus Aurelius himself is said to have died of the infection in 180. One of the reasons of collapse of Roman Empire is said to be the population decrease by the epidemic. Strangely, while the Roman Empire was in the chaotic confusion, Christian population rapidly grew. The reason for that has been said to be moral decadent. But today, I would like to examine it from social science point of view. The first reason is that the polytheism, or ancient Greek philosophy, could neither explain the epidemic nor heal anyone. The city was filled with filthy smell. Family members and friends were infected one after another. In such extreme terrible situation, men cannot help but ask someone superior to mankind, why, what should be done, what is going to happen? Polytheism is passionate about the rituals and festivals, but it had nothing to offer or to teach people in the time of the epidemic. Priests had run away from the city. Under such an emergency state, Bishop Cyprianus of Carthage delivered a sermon to the congregation. He said, "This epidemic appears to be terrible and fatal, but it might have been needed for us to examine our justice and faith. Have those who are healthy taken care of those who are sick? Did you love your close family to the end? Masters, have you sympathized your servants who are weakened? Brothers who have passed away by the disease are not lost, but released and dispatched from this world." So Christianity offered that there was a meaning in life, even in the midst of the pandemic and fear, and that there was a hope and consolation far above the physical life. In short, Christianity had both philosophy and emotions which were united in one that could respond to the fears and confusions, contrary to a polytheism in the time of fear for the epidemic and death. The second reason is that the value of love and service in Christianity had produced a standard model of social service and solidarity. Christian doctrines offered a prescription in a crisis moment. Bishop Dionysius of Alexandria recorded in his letter, I quote, "Pagans avoided even those who fell in the epidemic only recently. Those who were dying were thrown out on the street, and unburied dead bodies were treated carelessly. By doing so, they tried to avoid spread and infections of this disease, but they could not avoid it. Christians behaved totally in opposite way. Most of our brothers mutually cared each other out of their love, visited the sick in spite of potential risk, cared them kindly, and they left this world in joy with the sick. They drew the illness of their neighbors to themselves, and they took the pains of the sick as their own. This is how the most noble people among us departed from this life in this world. This was the result of their faith, and I believe this is not inferior to martyrdom. When a disaster attacked, Christians mutually supported. As a result, they seem to have had higher survival rate than the pagans. The one who was infected, if he was deserted, could not obtain water by himself, and he just had to wait for his death hopelessly. But if he were given water and food by someone, it must have been possible to be recovered. It is conceivable to imagine that the survival rate of Christians were higher than that of the pagans, and more than what could have been expected. The third reason was the power of social networks of Christians. When someone lost a family member or relative or a pandemic, he or she lost existing affectionate relationship. Many people were attracted to the Christian network in which Christians mutually supported at the risk of their lives, even in the fear of death. In the midst of fear of epidemic death and anxiety of infection, people chose the dedicated group of servants and the network, which encouraged that their life had a meaning even if they died. This network was a church. The author of the book concludes that the ratio of Christian population in Roman Empire increased even during the chaotic period because of 1. Doctrine of Christian faith, 2. Love in practice, and 3. Christian network. This is what happened in the 1st and 2nd centuries. Christians who cared the sick, even being ready for death, must have had burning hearts. They cared their fellow Christians with no mask or gloves or protection clothes against unknown epidemic, which had high fatality rate. Such devoted service was not limited only among the Christians of Roman Empire. Today, several tens of thousands of medical staffs are working to care the infected patients of COVID. Fatality rate of the medical staffs are higher than those who are not, probably because they are in close contact with the infected patients. They work at the risk of their lives. Apart from the medical staffs, famous musicians and athletes have created videos to encourage mild case patients. I watched the news about the temple priest who made handmade masks and delivered them. Countless people are fighting with this infectious disease in the midst of anxiety and fear. It is a battle to maintain human nature. Last week, I watched a video of ABC News in America. A nurse who cared the infected patients in the hospital came home exhausted after several days of work. When she got off her car at home and looked around, she began to cry because her neighbors came out of their houses to welcome her back with a big applause. Her neighbors wanted to express their gratitude and respect to her, who has been fighting against COVID at the risk of her own life. The anchor of the news program had tears in her eyes, and I was also moved. It was only an applause, but it proved the solidarity of the community which supported her, and it also strongly appealed oneness of the whole mankind to fight against the pandemic. Similarly, in the time of crisis, I think mankind has been using their wisdom to fight against the epidemic to win, and they have been dedicating their hearts to maintain human nature. When we look back, Christians who rely on God of the Bible have been shining, especially in the time of crisis. Gracious God does not make us suffer just for the sake of suffering. God, who is the creator of all things, created mankind in his image, and he will not allow us to lose the battle against the enemy who is trying to twist this image. Our Heavenly Father is expecting mankind, whom he created, to win the battle against the virus. This morning, we celebrate the resurrection of Lord Jesus. We focused on two disciples who, after meeting with Jesus, had their hearts burning within them. They had their head down in despair, but they rejoiced now by meeting with Lord Jesus. They were heading for home with anxiety and a feeling of powerlessness. But they began to think what they should do, and immediately they ran back to Jerusalem to see their colleagues. This morning, we also heard the voice of Lord Jesus, who was resurrected. If your heart is burning, pray to God. Let us pray how Megumi Church should serve the local community and what we should do in the midst of anxiety and fears. Let us pray.